Hello and welcome back to the Gubba Podcast. I'm Gubba, a first-time homesteader following in the footsteps of my homesteading forebears. In this podcast, I discuss prepping, homesteading, and everything in between. Today, I'm going to be giving you 5 tips on how to homestead from anywhere. It doesn't matter if you live in a skyrise apartment in the city, you can still do basic fundamental homestead things and activities to bring you back to our ancestral roots. Not only do you return to your roots, but you gain self-sufficiency skills that are priceless and can be passed down to your children. I am a strong believer that you don't need land to homestead, despite the popular belief that you do. If you find yourself wanting to learn more about how to homestead from anywhere, I just launched a homestead handbook that is filled with ideas to jumpstart you on your homestead journey literally anywhere. I understand it can be overwhelming, so that's why I took the time to craft the handbook. I wish I had when I was living in the city and wanting to venture into homesteading. The homestead handbook will be in the notes in the description, so let's get started. First on the list is gardening. So let's talk about gardening and how you can truly do it from anywhere. Gardening is a cornerstone of self-sufficiency, and it is woven into the fabric of homesteading. It is what our ancestors did. It serves as a fundamental practice, allowing individuals to take control of their food production and reduce dependency on external sources. So cultivating a garden provides a direct connection to the land, fostering a profound understanding of the seasons, of where you live, the soil, and the life cycles of plants. And again, remember, this was all inherent knowledge to our great grandparents. So you will have to take some time to relearn this, like I have, unless you are very fortunate to have great grandparents and grandparents who still do this and have passed down the knowledge to you. The ability to grow your fruits, vegetables, and herbs not only ensures a fresh and diverse harvest, but also empowers homesteaders to make conscious choices about the quality and sustainability of their food. Our food system is obviously broken. You go to the grocery store, it's filled with Fruit Loops and other things that have preservatives and GMOs and food coloring and all this stuff that is literally poison to our bodies. So when we literally go back to our roots and grow our own food, we are reconnecting our bodies with what we are supposed to be consuming. Beyond nourishing the body, gardening becomes a therapeutic and meditative endeavor. It promotes a harmonious relationship with nature, which I love so much. I really feel that when I go hiking, but also gardening, when you're in there with these plants, which are living creatures, and you are harvesting them, you're tending to them, it truly is therapeutic. And in the context of homesteading, gardening is not merely a practical skill, it is a transformative journey that encapsulates the part of self-sufficiency and a commitment to a more sustainable and fulfilling way of life. Again, how our great grandparents lived. And the best part is, you don't need land to start a garden. You can learn to maximize the space that you have. If you live in a smaller space or want to more efficiently use your space, container gardening or vertical gardening is an amazing option for you. So container gardening is just that. You purchase containers from a local store, like a wooden barrel or plastic plant container, and plant some plants in them to adorn around your space. When I first started gardening, I got a wooden barrel from Home Depot, filled it with soil, and then filled it with strawberries. So that was my little endeavor. And then I built my own raised garden and put tomatoes and herbs and watermelon in there. When it comes to vertical gardening, certain plants thrive in these upward structures. So it's literally picture containers, but they're stacked vertically. So they're really cool. So for these, you'd want to consider vining plants like beans, peas, cucumbers that can climb to utilize the vertical space, or even strawberries. That would have been more effective when I first started gardening, to do vertical containers instead of just the traditional container that sits on the ground, to really maximize my space. Compact and trailing herbs like thyme, oregano, and sage also work well for vertical gardening. You could also have a kitchen herb garden right out on your deck or patio, or even in the windowsill of your kitchen. For flowers, go for petunias or pansies. Those add color and vibrancy to your vertical garden. gardens. I feel like a vertical flower garden, you're not getting food from it. You could get herbs or make teas from it. I mean, some flowers actually are edible. You just have to look into what you are planting. So picture a container that utilizes the space that is not being utilized right now and is growing enough tomatoes for you or herbs, and your family gets to enjoy homemade meals from what you're growing in these containers. You could have a vertical strawberry garden that is filled to the brim with strawberries that are vining everywhere and producing fruit. Strawberries are perennial too, so they come back each year. So set up your strawberry vertical garden and you are good to go. Next year, I plan to utilize more vertical gardening in my garden for berries because I love that the space is occupied vertically instead of taking up a bunch of space on the ground. You just go up instead of to the side, and it is more usable, I feel like, in a space, but you get to decide whatever your space looks like. Some things to consider when gardening, though, are soil and container choices, which we kind of just discussed. Ensure your containers have proper drainage to prevent waterlogging. Sometimes you might have to drill your own holes if you are DIYing some containers, and use a high quality potting mix with added organic matter. Consider the microclimates of your vertical garden. Place sun-loving plants on top where they can soak up the rays, and shade-tolerant ones lower down. Container gardening is an art form that transforms small spaces into flourishing homestead havens. Just give it a try. See how you like it. And in the same realm, let's move on to aquaponics and talk about the details of setting up this harmonious system. The first step is creating a balanced ecosystem, starting with a fish tank. Tilapia and trout are popular choices for their resilience and suitability to the aquaponic environment. So just choose a tank size that accommodates your chosen fish species. And once your fish tank is established, connect it to grow beds filled with a suitable medium like gravel or expanded clay pellets. The fish waste provides essential nutrients to the plants, and as the plants absorb these nutrients, they filter the water, creating a symbiotic relationship. So all you have to do is monitor water pH, ammonia, and nitrate levels regularly to ensure a healthy system. And aquaponics is not just a setup, it is a dynamic living system that requires careful attention and balance. I don't have aquaponics here on my homestead, but I did research and look into it for a while because I thought it would be a neat system to have. I went over to a neighbor's house last year who has an aquaponic setup in their living room, and they had all kinds of vegetables and herbs growing in the middle of winter. You can make this system as big or small as you want, so it is a viable option for any kind of homesteader. Now that we've covered gardening and aquaponics, which are both viable options for anybody anywhere, let's venture into the heart of the homestead, the kitchen. Cooking from scratch involves mastering various techniques, and it all begins with understanding your ingredients. Truly, cooking from scratch is one of the easiest ways that you can homestead from anywhere. It might seem a little intimidating, but once you start diving into the world of sourdough starters for bread and experiment with fermenting vegetables or making fermented milk into kefir for added health benefits, and start exploring the art of canning and preserving to extend the lifespan of your harvest, all of it comes back to your kitchen. And I feel like cooking and baking from scratch is so crucial. You learn to chop, dice, and mince with precision. You grasp the nuances of flavor combinations and different cooking methods. And by cooking from scratch, you not only control the quality of your food, but also reduce reliance on processed items. For example, bread. I make bread from scratch. Anybody can do it. It's cheap to do. Flour, salt, water, those basic ingredients. And you don't have anything processed in there. If you go pick up a loaf of the shelf bread at the store, it is going to be loaded with weird ingredients. Skip it. Truly, cooking from scratch and all these other methods of building food storage and having food preservation is a journey that transforms your kitchen into a culinary sanctuary and a food storage and a place where you can go for comfort, peace, and security. You don't have to be a professional to start cooking from scratch. All you simply have to do is start. I used to cook along with my dad growing up, but I fell into the trap of convenience when I moved away from home, and I had to relearn those basics. basics when I came back to my roots. You will have some failed dishes, but don't let that discourage you. Just figure out if the recipe you used was a dud or if you have to change the baking time, ingredients, or spices. Over time, you will learn how to make any recipe work. For example, I now know how dough should feel when I'm making any sort of bread recipe like rolls or bread bowls or just sandwich bread. So I can adjust the flour and water to get the perfect dough consistency, and that has taken practice, a lot of practice. But seriously, you will not regret learning how to cook or bake from scratch. These skills can be passed down, it will save your health, and they are beneficial to being prepared. Anyone can learn how to homestead, and it truly starts in your kitchen. So now let's venture outside to a homestead activity that most anyone can do. Rainwater harvesting is a vital practice for any homesteader, you know, thinking about water storage, how you'll get water in emergency situations. So setting up a system like this involves strategic planning. Have you ever thought about how water just falls from the sky? It's pretty neat, especially if you learn how to harvest it for yourself, to water your garden, or to have for an emergency. First, you start by assessing your roof surface area and installing gutters to collect rainwater. Most of us have gutters. If not, you can install them. Direct the flow into storage containers like barrels or tanks, ensuring they are positioned on stable ground and level ground too. So filter the collected rainwater to remove debris and contaminants. Use a first flush diverter to discard the initial runoff, which may carry pollutants. To increase storage capacity, consider connecting multiple containers in a series. Implementing an overflow system prevents waterlogging and potential damage to your setup. Rainwater harvesting isn't just about collecting water. It's a sustainable approach that conserves this precious resource that is so usable all over your homestead. And truly, it sounds a little daunting and intricate, but once you get the parts and set it up, you will see how easy it is and how useful it is. Now, let's dive into one of my favorite ways of homesteading, how I started a homestead where I was at, and that is sourcing local. Sourcing food locally or other items that you use is truly an art, and I love it so much. It's not just about convenience, it's about building relationships with local producers, whether that producer is a large-scale farmer or it is just your neighbor. Farmers markets offer an array of fresh seasonal produce, often cultivated using sustainable practices. You will want to research when you go to the farmers market, like the farm name that they are representing, because there are con artists who will go and just sell you food from the grocery stores. So keep that in mind. And joining a community supported agricultural program allows you to receive a regular share of harvest from local farmers, which is really neat. All of this will foster a sense of community, and you will meet other like-minded individuals when you are going through this process, which I have found to be an important aspect of homesteading for me. You can also connect with neighboring farmers through community events and explore cooperative ventures. It's a symbiotic relationship that enhances the variety on your plate while strengthening the bonds with your local food ecosystem. Seriously, you will meet someone at a farmer's market who does something you want to learn more about, and maybe they offer workshops, or you could use the barter system and trade them for something you make or a skill you have. You will be surprised at what doors open. I cannot stress this enough. This is probably the most important tip when you're starting homesteading. Start sourcing local. Then that's going to go to your kitchen and it's just going to expand. You'll find inspiration to start a garden. Sourcing local was the start for me, so that is why I am so passionate. And there you have it, an in-depth exploration of homesteading anywhere. In-depth guidance on nurturing self-sufficiency with 5 essential tips, from container gardening to aquaponics, cooking from scratch, rainwater harvesting, and sourcing food locally. These tips are your roadmap to a more self-sufficient and homesteading life, no matter where you call home. So thank you so much for joining us on this homesteading journey. Until next time, and happy homesteading.